Is the season to be jolly, fa la 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 la.
After vacationing across America and throughout Europe,
take it, Russ.
This holiday season, the Griswolds are going to play it safe.
Clark, we're stuck under a truck.
Oops. They're staying at home.
I give you the Griswold family Christmas tree.
Hope you're not getting sap all over your sweater, Clark.
All Clark wants is a quiet, old-fashioned Christmas.
Sorry. Got a little knot here. You can work on that.
What he's going to get is the gift that keeps on living.
Merry Christmas.
His family.
We didn't come to impose.
Oh, hell, there's plenty of room.
Do you sleep with your brother? Do you know how sick and twisted that is, Mom?
Well, I'm sleeping with your father.
Have you got a kiss for me?
You better take a rain check on that, Art. He's got lip fungus they ain't identified yet.
But no holiday could ever be more deeply touching.
We were gonna call, but Eddie wanted to make it a surprise.
If I woke up tomorrow with my head sewn to the carpet, I wouldn't be more surprised than I am right now.
We're really gonna fly down the hill with this stuff.
So genuinely moving.
Can I refill your eggnog for you? Drive you out to the middle of nowhere, leave you for dead?
More truly uplifting.
Can I show you something?
I was just browsing.
Or more down to earth.
Merry Christmas!
If Santa is smart, he'll stay well clear of this joint. It's a death trap.
Then Christmas with the Griswolds.
Everybody come out quick, look at the lights!
They want you to say grace.
Pledge allegiance to the flag, the United States of America.
This year, let Chevy Chase light up your holidays. National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
That thing had 9 lives, she just spent them all.
You
woo!
Crack up.
All right, welcome back to Back to the Movies. It's our last Back to the Movies of 2024. Do you know another John Hughes movie? I didn't realize that until I was watching the credits of this movie, that Planes, Trains, and Automobiles and Christmas Vacation is what the movie we're doing right now. I'm Ted Flint. I'm Ted Flint, Jake Foss, and Sean Tess Festman are here. We are back to the movies where we revisit a movie or watch a movie for the first time that we swear everyone else has seen. We are doing 1989's Chevy Chase. He's gonna be in Atumwa.
You don't say it like the car. It's Chevy.
Chevy. I think he's gonna be in Atumwa, or he was just in Atumwa to watch this movie. Could have bought tickets and watched this movie with Chevy. Whatever. Clark Griswold. All right. Like I said, we are here on the Tailgate Society. Find us on your podcast.
How many fucking movies has John Hughes written? By the way.
He quit. So like he had like a hell of a stretch there. He had Sweet 16, 16 Candles, Breakfast Club, Home Alone, obviously.
Yeah, like the mid-80s.
Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Did he just crush?
Late 80s, early 90s, and he just quit.
Yeah. Sorry.
Made his money and quit.
Random, but
he made a bunch of money and he quit. I mean, living the dream, man. I mean, he's Tom from MySpace. Find us on your podcast app of choice. iTunes, Spotify, iHeart. Amazon, we're part of the problem. We're a reason the democracy's dying because we're getting Bezos bucks, whatever the fuck his name
there
is.
There you go. You got it that time.
In case you have never seen 1989's Christmas Vacation by National Lampoon's, it's the third movie in a quadrant of films. We really should do Vacation because I'm not sure the last time I sat down and watched National Lampoon's Vacation. I bet it's been 15 years since I sat down and watched that movie.
It's been a long time since I've watched that one. For sure, start to finish.
So, yeah. Anyways, we're going to spoil this movie in 90 seconds or less. And by doing that, I'm going to spin a wheel. But instead of a wheel, this time I have made, as you can see behind me, a cork board filled with Christmas lights. And I have everyone's name written down, every other person. There's 1,000 lights on this cork board. It took me a minute. It takes up this whole damn wall. Every third person is listed. The lights are going to flash around in a circle, kind of like that old, you know, that old Make a Deal game or whatever, where all lights flash around in a circle. They can't see this. I'm doing a terrible job explaining it. Anyways, I'm going to hit this button, and the lights are going to start flashing. And they're not flashing. Still not flashing. I checked the bulbs. Okay. I did the thing.
Did you make sure it was plugged in?
Did you flip the light switch?
I did check and make sure it's plugged in. Maybe I hit a few times. All right.
There is a light switch behind your head.
Okay. It's not. God damn it. It was a light switch. All right. Here they go. And they're going. Check the light switch. Fuck off. It was the light switch. All right. And they're going. They're spinning, spinning. And then Jake Voss. Imagine that. The man who smarted off got picked. That's weird.
There's a fucking light switch behind your head, and it's part of the movie.
I know.
Don't yell at me.
And it worked for the cork board. Anyway, Jake Voss, in 90 seconds or less, spoil the shit out of 1989's National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
Yeah, I mean, it's what you would expect from a National Lampoon's movie, right? Like, it's Griswold's Clark just has to host Christmas, and it has to be great. He has to put 25,000 lights up on his house and not know why they don't work half the time. And both his parents and the in-laws show up, and apparently they're both sets for of in-laws. A week. And then Cousin Eddie shows up, and it gets even crazier. And he decided that he was going to bank on getting his bonus and put a deposit down on a pool, an in-ground pool in Chicago, or wherever the hell they're supposed to be.
Clark makes some choices. Yeah, it's definitely Chicago.
I mean, they were wearing Chicago stuff, and I don't know if they ever actually said, but that was just an assumption based on that. But yeah, it's basically Clark being Clark the whole time, making poor choices for the most part along the way, and getting himself in bad situations.
Right.
And then it kind of works out in the end, you know, other than the house, you know, being destroyed.
He got the bonus, though.
But he got the bonus by Cousin Eddie kidnapping the boss and them all basically looking at him like you're the worst person alive. So
trying to figure out if insurance covers any of the accidents that happen in that.
Does insurance cover cops acting like SWAT teams diving through your windows
I don't think it covers the dog.
Kidnap your boss.
Doesn't cover the dog chasing the squirrel, destroying the house.
Oh no.
So that happens.
It's not gonna get you new carpet that the cat's fried into.
Fried pussy cat.
Fried cat.
Always our first question is, you know, and like I want to say I'm probably gonna upset people with my review of this movie. This is the first time I've sat down and watched it start to finish in a hot minute. And what did I say, J4 Podcast? It has a bunch of good lines built into a movie that I'm not sure is very good.
Yeah, it's a movie with, yeah, I think your quote was, it's a movie with the best lines that I don't,
and I use them all the time. I use all these lines,
a bunch of lines that a lot of people quote. And I don't know the last time I rewatched it, but I would agree with you that, like, I don't need to sit down and rewatch the movie. Not the whole movie.
I mean, I can 100% give you that. And this is where Ted has been worried about pissing me off. And you're not going to piss me off, because for me, it's not a movie like, I've probably watched this movie start to finish maybe like 3 times ever.
So this movie came out before both of you were born. So this movie is just in your lexicon, right? Like, it is just existed.
Yeah. 89.
But yeah, anytime this movie is on, I will sit down and I will watch at least 30 minutes of it. Because it's got hits, man.
I think the hilarious, maybe not hilarious, but the fitting part of this movie is, it's a great movie, 197 minutes.
In and out.
Like, yeah, you can have a family gathering where people are just kind of moving around and you're in and out of the movie, but you just catch like parts of it and it's great. But you don't need to like be around to see the whole movie, right?
It is hour 37, but like after they get the Christmas tree, there's a good 15 minutes after that point, it's like, nothing fucking happens. He goes to work. They discuss the bonus. He goes and flirts with the cashier woman, which we're going to get into.
Yeah.
I guess the eat shit part or kiss my ass part with the execs, but like I'm real quick, let's get back. It's like you guys, you said you guys, it was always on TV. This movie is always on TBS. Like people say that's a TNT movie. This was a TBS movie to me. Like this was on the Superstation around the holidays. I don't remember the first time I actually watched it. It was just there. It's always been around my life. It's just been there in my life.
And I'm not going to say it wasn't there for like me when I was growing up, but this is not a movie that I like remember watching or consistently watched. Like I think I'm going to say I was in my 20s before I actually sat down and watched this movie.
Yeah, it wasn't quite that long for me, but I was probably like 10 or 12, maybe 12, closer to a teenager when I first actually watched it through. Like kind of as was mentioned, like it was on TV. It would be around sometimes, my parents would throw it on, but like one of my friends was, his family was they watched it every year numerous times. And like, I was just over there, you know, one year leading up to Christmas. And I
never had that experience
and watched it
around family or friends or whatever that like, cause there's definitely people that always watched it. And I understand that. I just never had that. And I think I'm young enough that it wasn't on TV all the time anymore. Like for whatever reason, it had phased itself out by the time I was 10 or 12. It wasn't on TBS all the time anymore, which is probably like fair. There was other stuff that came out. And
yeah. And that was, and I guess sort of in that say, I, it wasn't necessarily just this, but kind of all of the vacation movies together. Like my family just, I saw them through other people growing up. Like my parents and stuff have obviously seen them over the years, but like it just wasn't something we watched in our house. Like I love Vegas Vacation because that was one of the first ones that I saw by myself because it was on TV.
I thought that movie was hilarious.
And that's what, yeah, it's one of my favorite movies.
I would also echo that, even being whatever I am, three, four years younger than you, that for whatever reason, like the vacation movies were not, the National Lampoon movies were not a thing, not the early ones in my house, which is weird. Like it wasn't a content thing for sure, because by the time I was like middle school age, like there were definitely things that we watched around the house that like these movies would not fall into the same category of, as far as comedy and vulgarity and stuff like that. So
I mean, the first vacation movie is very vulgar. Like if we revisit that one, like I remember like first time I watched it like 15 years ago, I'm like, this movie is crazy vulgar, the first vacation movie. Like I wouldn't be surprised it's not rated R. This one's rated PG-13, and this one skirts the line of a hard, like this skirts the line of PG-13. So all right, let's movie starts off, they go get the tree. Can we discuss the tree part where like he's road raging against these hillbillies, and like
vacation is R.
I figured it was. Can you imagine just how clenched your asshole would be if you were underneath a log truck?
Just such
like how do you even like remove yourself from that situation?
Well, I mean, you turn one way or the other and get the fuck out from underneath the log truck, but
yeah, it's more impressive that he keeps speed to stay under it for 10 seconds. but yeah, it's doing that. And Ellen gives the prayer and then he does finally pull out from underneath it and just head on with a snowblower.
And what does she say? We can't enjoy the holidays if we're dead, Clark.
Yeah.
That will be one of our questions later, but like that, is that the only gif from this movie? Is him flipping the bird early on? I guess, Are You Serious, Clark gets gifted a little bit, right?
Yeah. That one, you do get, I guess I don't know if it is a ton anymore, if it's probably the most popular, but there is, I know it, I have seen it used of when he does, obviously as it's all coincidence, not him doing it, but when he plugs the lights in and they actually turn on because Ellen flips the switch and he gets that big awe gazing look. I know I've seen that.
God, I want to Google how old he is in this movie and get mad at myself.
Besides that, I don't think there's a ton of.
Is he younger than I am?
He was 50.
Okay. No way he's 50 in this fucking movie.
46.
Okay, so he's older than me. That makes me feel good. Yeah. One of the low key funny parts of this movie that like I think gets slept on is like after they find the tree and they're freezing, and then his son's like, "Did you bring a saw, Dad?"
Yeah.
And they just yank it out of the ground somehow by the miracle of God.
Oh my God. Like how much work would it take to hand dig out a goddamn tree?
Oh no.
For something like that.
The implication is it's silly and like, yeah.
I know. I'm just saying.
Pull it out with a car or something. Like there's no way.
That tree like also changes size repeatedly in this movie, but how big it is. Speaking of the tree, they show it with the tree, the neighbors spout off, and he says something like, "I'll plow you" or something. Or what does he say to the neighbors?
Well,
like,
bend over and I'll show you.
Bend over and I'll show you. And the husband makes a comment. He goes, "I wasn't talking to you."
Yeah, the husband replies, and he's like, "I wasn't talking to you."
So neighbors in this movie, Margot and Todd. I swear to God, if this movie was made 20 years later, they're making a Reddit post that is, "Am I the asshole?" Like complaining about
How are you going to make it fit? Is what the husband asks.
Oh yeah,
and he says,
yeah.
"Bend over, and
bend over, I'll show you."
But like, I understand like Margot and Todd would be like yuppie assholes, but like they're just existing. Assholes, yeah. They're just existing in there, and Clark Griswold is just fucking up their lives.
Yeah, this is where if you want to talk about somebody whose actual like insurance is paying out on stuff, it's theirs for sure.
Tree through window.
It's a piece of is it gutters ice. That fly through the window? Ice that it's flies
ice.
Through.
Ice.
Oh yeah, because it smells
like slingshots it out of the gutter.
Yeah,
because that stereo equipment looks like some of a spaceship.
That's 80s stuff, man.
You know, why is there water everywhere, Todd? Yeah, well, I don't know.
Why is the carpet all wet, Todd? I don't know, Margot.
I don't know, Margot.
Yeah, like those jumpy assholes are just trying to live their lives, and Clark is over there just fucking it up.
All right, so it's
the implication that they are shitty people, but they're not like shitty to the Griswolds. Like they're doing it in the privacy of their own home.
Yeah, and they're just getting shit on. They're implicitly assholes. They're not explicitly mean or like doing anything to the Griswold family, but it is hilarious that they're just
right here.
Unfortunately living next door to this guy that's gonna do all these things that fuck their shit up.
All right. So speaking of, let's just move. We're already on Margot. Big actors in small roles. Julia Louis-Dreyfus just hanging out in this movie. Like, yeah, at this point, she's been on SNL.
I mean, I forgot that was her. And then, like, rewatching, I was like, okay, that is someone I very much know. And then, like, this whatever third time she was on the screen, it clicked in my brain. I was like, oh yeah, Julia Louis-Dreyfus, there we go, that's who it is.
Yeah, you got her. And then I, you know, Ted, obviously, as you said, this came out before me or Jake was born, but obviously like I just don't know for sure all of the stuff around maybe what she had done. You know, I didn't check it in anyway. I did go and look because I was watching this with my girlfriend today, and she made a comment about Russ, and she goes, "What's he from?" And I go, "I don't know, but I know that face." But yeah, he's later, he's the son in Roseanne, but then as everybody knows him, he's in Big Bang Theory.
Leonard. Johnny Galecki.
Yeah. And then I think those were the only two I had.
Yeah, I think Juliette Lewis is too famous. I think Juliette Lewis is too famous as the daughter for people to be like, as you stare at me and you don't know who the hell she is. That's cool.
Yeah. But and like I said, that's where just being familiar with it. Like, I knew who she was before I had ever really gotten familiar with this movie. So like that was just a thing in my head that I just wasn't, you know, not saying she wasn't at the time, you know, that she was a big star or whatever. That's not what it was, but that's where she was in my brain anyway. She's done all this other stuff.
Right, right.
No, I assume she hadn't done, I just assumed she hadn't done that much, I guess.
So how many times do you guys die doing the lights on the house? I die at least twice. I die on the ladder. Like, I don't survive the ladder.
I see what you're saying. Okay.
I have
I see what you're saying. Yep.
As it is, I have just a wild fear of ladders anyway. So
right,
I would be a little extra shaky. So I'm falling off ladders all the time. And I hate ladders. I always made this clear at every job I've ever worked. And every time we've decorated a store for Christmas or something, guess who gets thrown on a ladder? It's this guy. Just, hey, we need you 15 feet in the air.
I have too much mass to be on a ladder. Someone else. I'll hold the ladder. You can climb up the ladder. I'll be down here at the bottom holding it. Jake, you can go up on the ladder.
I've done enough on ladders that I'm not impervious to like being up somewhere high and being like, oh yeah, I'm up here pretty high. I don't really want to like stand directly over the edge of this thing, but I don't have like some direct fear of heights or anything like that. I don't ever plan on being on a ladder to staple light Christmas lights to my house. So I'm gonna be pretty clear about that.
You're not gonna staple 25,000 fucking lights.
Not even to that scale. Like, I'm never going to be a person that staples Christmas lights to my house. I will do like other things if I want to put Christmas lights up, but to like drag a ladder around your house and like staple lights up is an insane thing to me.
How long would it take for that man to tear those lights off?
Well, so my biggest thing about watching the movie when he's doing it is like, he's on his roof, like stapling through the shingles and stuff, yeah. Like everywhere. It's not just like a little bit either. It's not like, oh, I'm going to put a few staples here because I want to hang some stuff up. And then when it gets hot again, it's going to like melt some of the tar and it's going to go away. This is like hundreds of staples through the shingles in my roof.
And the snow never leaves the area, so it has to be cold as fuck out when he's up there.
Yeah, which like is fine. It's just if you did some staples, they would probably like shingles will melt back together. But when you're gonna put thousands of staples,
25,000 fucking lights.
Yeah, no, I'm never gonna ever be anywhere close to doing that. That's for sure.
And then being mad when they don't work. Like,
and then I love the when they flip it on and there's the like. They show the neighborhood with the lights like
power, the power draining down, out,
and then they flip the like the
nuclear reactor
switch, the emergency nuclear reactor switch
on top of like the on top up. Of the power thing, the gauge. All right, let's discuss that nuclear reactor switch is a good segue here. This movie like cannot pick a lane. It tries to be like wholesome, but also like nuclear reactor, the sled scene that's on fire, like it like. Has like extreme slapstick sometimes.
Say,
you know,
I think it tries to be sketchy and slapstick, but also, like, I think that's what it should be. But they try to do too much wholesome or like serious in it too.
Yeah, and that's so. Like, I do get what you're saying. That it was in my notes that it is like this is.
That was not a criticism.
And obviously, like, not just the, like, all of the vacation movies in general are obviously a big part of 80s comedy and stuff like that.
In European vacation, they knocked down Stonehenge.
Yeah. And I had down, like, this is just a very great encapsulation of what, you know, 80s slapstick shtick, even sort of physical comedy stuff was at the time. But that is, they do kind of at spots obviously go a little too far. It's to almost oversell a point, you know. They have the, like you were saying, the sled thing of just like, he's just a rocket. And then it even, you even get the callback later of Eddie looking at stuff. And it's just, it's the whole bottom's gone. And like, so you get some of that where it is, it's just like, okay, like, but it is for what the actors are, the way everything's delivered, I think it works. Like, it could be, if it was different people and they just didn't, kind of like I said, I have in my notes also, it's like Chevy Chase's facial expressions are just incredible.
Dude, when he's in the car beginning and he has like just five straight minutes of crazy eyes when he's driving the car.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah. And he'll make little noises here and there that just add a little bit that are perfect for a spot. So I without a lot of that, I think a lot of this could fall really flat and be a almost bad movie. So like, I can definitely understand why there would be criticism, because I agree with you. Like, the premise and the things that get done are sketchy and corny, and some of them you can even see the little bits coming from a mile away, but like, it's funny the way it's delivered and the people that do it. So it definitely comes down to the people doing it, for sure. I think
I think they did not go far enough into Chevy Chase and the sketchy slapsticky physical comedy-ness of it. And not that they didn't go far enough, but I feel like they tried to paste like some of that together with like actual serious, like kind of serious drama, like parts of a movie. And it's just like, no, the movie is just a bunch of like random slapsticky,
well, like,
sketchy type stuff together, right? Like,
I like the part in the attic. We watched the home videos, and that's good, and it gets me. But also, like, feels out of place in this movie.
Yeah, well, there's places in the movie where in between whatever random thing Chevy Chase is doing, interacting with the in-laws or with Cousin Eddie or whatever, there's things that like aren't really needed to connect parts of the movie. I feel like sometimes they're okay and they're like short, but there's just other times where I'm like, do you need to actually try and make this like dramatic or like a movie instead of just a sketch filled comedy?
Yeah. For sure. Cause, I mean, even kind of like I was saying earlier, is like, this is a movie for sure. And obviously I've seen all of the pieces dozens of times, but like, it's a movie that I'm fine watching 20 minutes of, and you don't need to know the story going.
That's what
in.
I mean. That's what it's and supposed so, and to so, be.
Right. And they, and I'll agree with you there for sure. They do kind of try and, kind of force a storyline and a
so
plot line that really doesn't
like,
need to be there.
You need to have to the movie, right?
It is, because, yeah, the whole thing is just really all you need as the whole thing. Like, you've already got two vacation movies as a baseline of, yeah, we get it, their family, and it's hijinks, and this is just
even though
their
kids change every movie at every age.
Yes, yeah. but then, you know, on top of that, it is they do enough as far as like what time is and stuff with their little advent calendar thing opening the doors that has the date on it. Like, that's really all you need.
Like,
do they
actually need, I suppose, other than one scene to introduce the boss, do they need any office scenes?
Well, they need to have, that's the crutch of the stakes, I guess, right? Of the movie. Like,
yeah,
have,
it's, but it's could, building
but
up.
You could the have bonus. Him. I understand that it's a surprise, like the wife, like his wife doesn't know.
Yeah.
But you could have him talking to her about it. At
that's some Bill point. Murray's brother, right? Isn't that Doyle Murray? Who the hell is that guy? It's Bill Murray's brother.
Boss?
Yeah.
Or the, like, the coworker.
The boss.
Oh.
Oh. Sure, he's a Murray. He's also in Groundhog Day. He's the mayor.
That's right. I'd recognize the voice, but I don't know him.
All right. While you're looking that up.
Brian Doyle Murray.
I got, before we lose, I forget. Are we sure Clark Griswold is a good dad and husband? Because no. I'm not sure that man deserves Ellen as his wife. Like, Ellen is sweet and, like, loving and puts up all his fucking bullshit. And there's a lot of bullshit that cinema woman deals with. And he's out there saying she's dead or he's going to divorce her with that woman at the goddamn store. Like, I'm just saying, man.
Well, that's not the only time that, like, shtick appears.
Right? It's in all the movies. It's in all the fucking movies.
It's a part of his personality and everything.
I mean, it's to kind of borrow from.
And this is 1989's Beverly D'Angelo. Respectfully, I'm just saying. Like,
I'm not defending Clark here, but a little bit as you've been known to say, Ted. He's kind of got, you know, that golden Labrador energy. Like, he's
don't be putting that on me.
He finds something in the moment that he wants, and he's full speed about it. And then the rest of the world doesn't. So, like, she's kind of grounding him, and she doesn't need to be. She could do much better. She could have somebody do
so much better.
Yeah. And yeah, I mean,
there is something about it, and it's probably more part of the time. But because I haven't watched the other scenes super recently enough. I think they play out similar to this one where, like,
well, in this first one, it's Cindy Crawford or somebody, right? Driving beside him
in the car. That's yeah.
And then she's at the hotel too.
Right. And it's less, and kind of to what Tez is saying, it's less about, like, him wanting to stray from his relationship and more just, like, finding something that, like, fully enamors him because of the beauty of it or whatever. And I'm not defending it. It's like, there's some weird thing about it. It's, I don't know.
Not touching this.
Yeah, no, it's not good. It's not good. It's just, but it's not him. Like, it's not him, like, actively being like, hey, like,
I want a different life.
Like, I want out of here. Like, you want to, can we, like, right, go somewhere?
I'm going to change.
But it's not. There's a different energy about it.
Let me save you two.
It's not good. But it's different than, like, I'm actively trying to cheat on my wife. I don't know. It's,
speaking of his wife, who's a saint and he's a fucking cheater.
You're not wrong. I'm just saying,
I don't think he would have even presented the opportunity. I think the man would freeze up anyway.
I think he would be terrified and not be able to do anything. I agree.
Speaking of St. Ellen, where do we fall on Sparky as a pet name? Because she calls him Sparky repeatedly. Like, who the hell uses Sparky as a pet name?
Is that not, like, a pre-existing condition from before or something?
I don't even, if it is, she Sparky, like, just doesn't sound like, it's a weird
pet name. I mean, yeah, I don't
want to shame anyone's pet name. If you call your man Sparky, good for you.
Or your, like, your partner in some way Sparky, like, sure, go for it.
Maybe she's Sparky because he has an 18
plus. It feels like one of those. Yeah, if it comes from something, I guess maybe.
But I don't know how you have a pet name of Sparky and it's not derived from,
and it's not rooted in something. Yeah,
something. That's all I'm gonna say.
Like, he lit a fire somewhere.
Hey, I'm not saying what it is. I'm just saying I feel like you don't get that pet name without a direct derivation of something that happened.
Yeah. Maybe it's because he has 1,000 plugins on that plug in the goddamn garage.
I mean, I think that's probably why they did it, but.
Yeah, it is. There's a. It is a fire hazard for sure.
Fire safety, children. Don't do that.
Someone out there, have your girlfriend or wife start calling you Sparky and report back on how that feels. Anyways, we got in the weeds here a little bit. Let's get back to the questions. Still think he's kind of a shitty person.
I don't disagree.
Is there anything that you did not realize was from this movie?
I don't think so,
unless there's one of the like popular gifs or something that's used.
I think him flipping off the car, I don't know if I realized it was from this movie until I saw it, but
I would have been able to tell you it's from one of them, one of the National Lampoon's movies, but I don't know if I could have told you directly which one, unless there was like background that
showed you. One thing I did notice from this movie was Cousin Eddie. And he shows up about 45 minutes in. Randy Quaid, who I'm pretty sure is no longer allowed in the United States.
I think.
Because the government's trying to kill him.
Yes, that's why.
I'm not sure, sure. A man has ever not... like everything he says in this movie is a hit. Does he have a single goddamn thing he says that doesn't land in this fucking movie?
He is like the ultimate... This character is the ultimate him.
So many small things he says. Like, I didn't realize it until tonight when the girlfriend was watching that when he shows up, he has a turtleneck that's not really a turtleneck underneath the white shirt. It's like a cut of a shirt. So it's just a turtleneck showing. I've never caught that.
Yeah.
You know,
well, it's like a weird turtleneck undershirt, but then he also has like another, I don't know. It's goofy. I never noticed it before either. It's a really like goofy thing to be wearing, but.
They're drinking eggnog out of the moose cups.
Cousin Eddie for him is like, it's so perfect because he's just wacky, drunk, oblivious to normal behavior.
And even the way, like you were saying, you know, it's just the way he delivers stuff is just. Everything's a hit, you know. It is just the full on, whether it's sitting at the table and it is the, you know, just is what is it, a airline pilot spotted Santa flying, just he looks over, just fucking deadpan, just you serious, Clark?
And or in the turn,
actually, might be my favorite quote from him in the movie because. It is so, everything else he does.
He's stunned. He's just stunned.
His best line is every time she turned the microwave on, I pissed myself and forgot my name for 30 minutes.
No, but the reason I think you serious Clark might be his best line in the movie is because everything else is so nonchalant and not like grounded in reality or anything. But to Tez's point, like when he looks at him, he just deadpan looks at him. You serious Clark? Like he's fucking 100% serious when he says that.
Or the I'll have the heart when the whole damn turkey bird's up, like, you know,
yeah,
pops open dry as hell. Yeah.
Yeah. And even you get to just the Clark opens that bonus. It's a monthly membership or a year membership to the Chili of the Month Club. Just it's the gift that keeps on giving all year round. Just goddamn, man. I would turn around and knock you out.
I'm not sure I'd turn down Chili of the Month Club if it was just a gift and not attached to a bonus I thought I was getting.
Wasn't supposed to be a $10,000 bonus you thought you were getting in 1989.
Yeah, you know, she fell down the well, her eyes went crossed, she got kicked by a mule that came on crack.
Oh man.
Speaking of we missed this when discussing big people in small roles is the one that plays Raymond's mother in How I Met Your Mother is Ellen's mom.
Oh yeah, so when I was watching, I did distract myself from the movie for a minute because I was going through the whole thing. What is her? Is her name Doris in the show? or is that a real name? I went back and forth on this for a while, and then I came up with the real name, and I couldn't remember. And
so, what is a real name?
I don't have the cast pulled up in front of me, and I don't remember it. It's.
Sorry. I think not she's, who was what now? Which one of the
Jesus Christ?
I think it's Doris in Everybody Loves Raymond.
Oh,
I said How I Met Your Mother, didn't I? I said the wrong show.
Yeah, that's what I recognized when you said that, and then I was confused about who you were talking about.
It's Raymond's mom, and How Everyone Loves Raymond is also Ellen's mom in this one. That's like, what a waste of money, just being a terrible person. Like, Aaron's, are we sure Cousin Eddie's Doris, Ellen's cousin?
Doris Roberts, that's her name. That's her actual name.
Wait, Eddie's on Ellen's side? Cousin Eddie?
Yes.
Like, he's not Clark's cousin?
No. Because, and that's only because at one point, I think it's when the cops get there, he's talking to his boss, he makes a comment about his cousin-in-law.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Eddie's his wife's side.
Okay. Just, all right, I believe you. It's just confusing. Seeing her parents are like the rich assholes in this movie, or come off as it, but...
Yeah, also, I guess the way I always interpret it was Eddie's wife was her.
Oh, that makes more sense.
Sister.
Yeah,
that tracks and more. So okay, Eddie I'm following.
Was her? Yeah, that's how it always worked. Or her cousin, and that's how it always worked.
This movie does do an amazing job of like foreshadowing events. They show the dog drinking the water out of the tree. They mention the fumes in the sewer.
Yep.
Like, it tells you what's going to happen.
If totally you unrealistic. Well, the tree is totally unrealistic, but
you don't think? Yeah, I mean, trees don't go up like that. They don't blow up.
The tree does not dry out in
days. How about cats getting vaporized under trees?
No. No, Jake, the tree dries out because the dog drank all the water out of the bowl.
The tree
days in advance
dry out.
It is a solid week, man. Do you think Clark's watering that fucking tree?
They don't. A tree does not.
And have you never watched one of the sewer? You not watched those fireman videos? I have seen the fireman videos of the trees
because,
being
it's
dry.
Because it's not a giant.
Are you calling Smokey the Bear a liar?
Son of a bitch! Stop it.
Wait, it's actually not Smokey the Bear; it's just Smokey Bear, right?
Smokey Bear, yeah.
No, so a tree like that's not going to dry out in a day. A tree that you go get from a farm that's been cut out of ground for a week, and then you put it in your house for 3 weeks.
How about you dig up a tree with your bare hands, and then you do a science experiment and see how long it takes to dry out?
How about you dig up a tree with your bare hands?
They've been there for a while. The in-laws were there for 10 days.
Dude, or let's discuss that.
Which is insane. Which is wild.
That's the first thing Rachel said, like, when she's like coming in and out of the movie. She's like, how long have they been in that house? I'm like, I think since the 14th.
Let's say the first date they show is like the 15th on the Advent like calendar.
Yeah, they're there for 10 days.
That's I have questions about that, but you know. And both sides, that seems like a choice.
In general?
Like, both sides of the in-laws. Like, just we're gonna flat out just bring them all here. Like, you know, like,
I mean, I guess if you want to do like a traditional thing, you do like a weekend, right?
You do a day.
Well, no, I mean,
they
get
a day and they leave.
No, okay, I'm talking like the old school, they might traditional, only get an afternoon. Like you're gonna bring like very old school thing. You're gonna like come over for the weekend, do the Christmas.
So yes. Speaking of Eddie showing up, they're drinking eggnog. I saw Sean was drinking eggnog tonight. I had not had that in a hot minute. Like, how does that taste with the rum and the eggnog? Jake's shaking his head. Well, no,
it's delightful. I mean, it's eggnog, so it's I had exactly one because it's rich and it's filling. And
that's why I was shaking my head, is because like I love to like have some eggnog, but even if I'm mixing it with,
you can't drink a lot.
I'm gonna drink like 8 ounce max.
It's like a Colorado Bulldog. You only have like one or two of those.
Yeah, it's like 8 ounces.
It's like a brick in your stomach. Yeah.
All right. So Cousin Eddie shows up. Bats 1,000. The shit. All right. I'm gonna make us.
The shit is full.
Yeah. Which line is overused in pulp culture? You serious, Clark, or shitter is full?
Well, which one gets used? The line is not even shitter's full. He says the shitter was full. Both
shitter
times.
Was full. Yeah.
No, he says shitter's full. No, he says shitter's full.
He says the shitter was
full. I watched it on closed captioning.
He says the shitter was full to Clark and the neighbor.
Yes. It is the shitter was full. And it is.
Chance Cousin Eddie says was. I believe that's what's in the script.
That's 100% what he says because I made sure to pay attention.
I noticed it right away. I was like, oh my God, it's a Luke, I am your father.
Right, yeah, it's a fuck up.
It's not. That's not what everybody repeats. Which
we're gonna need a bigger
boat.
It's
much less of a difference than that, but.
But yeah, as far as like what's in the world and in the zeitgeist of things, it's shitter's full for sure. Because like, I bet you I could pull up Pinterest and Etsy shops through the wazoo right now that are selling stickers and sweatshirts and scarfs and hats that are shitter's full.
Oh man, yeah, just like non-stop. The silhouette with the colors, the
yeah,
shitter's full, like,
but with the little robe and the cigar, and it's just there's so much of that out there, and I feel like that's maybe it's also just the fact of it's the internet and everybody on the planet gets to be on it now, which was a mistake.
Yeah, go back.
But yeah, it feels like, I don't know, it feels like that's kind of brought this movie back around and maybe back a little more.
That's what I say. Like when we said earlier, like this movie has two or three good quotes great quotes, great, that people build it around. And then, but they don't ever watch it. Like we just did, right?
Like, yeah, and that's where, and I have a list of quotes that I love from this movie. That part of them are from
Pussycat. That might be the one I use the most. And just like if anything's burnt in the kitchen, it's like I was like fried Pussycat, you know, like.
But yeah, I have a ton of them that like from watching it as a kid and as a teenager and like. And you catch different ones because if you do listen, and like we haven't dove into this, but I think my favorite person in the entire movie is Aunt Bethany.
She hasn't shown up yet. We haven't got to her.
Yeah. But for all of that, like there's so much of that, but I think like I said, that shitter's full stuff just seemed to blow up in like a year or two right around Christmas time, and then it's just now it's everywhere, which I mean I guess good for whoever's making money somewhere off it, like that's great, but
somebody
and it
got,
is funny
got
it's,
the niche and it really
it's,
blew up
it's
for merch
definitely a stuff. Funny a funny moment, it's a great moment, but yeah, for me, I don't if it was if you would have asked me 5-6 years ago, before I think a lot of that blew up, what was my favorite line of this movie? Like, I don't know that that's even like top five, but now it's just the thing from this movie that everybody knows.
I think it's, I feel like your Serious Clark has to be the top line.
You,
like,
you Serious Clark
is
my personal, like, by far most used quote. The one that I've probably heard referenced the most is shitter's full, or I've got a couple, like a friend group that uses like bend over I'll show you, like in decent context pretty well, but yeah,
if I'm gonna use
you
that,
Serious
I'm using...
Clark is that is
yeah, if I'm gonna use a bend over quote, you gotta do Super Troopers, man. Bend over, I'm gonna show where the wild goose goes, like that's
yeah, I think they're different contexts.
I know.
All for different things is the way that happens. And I'm even talking just like in conversation, like bend over, I'll show you, knowing like where it comes from is the like, hey, fuck you, shut up.
There is, for a long time in my family, it was even if we just got talking about stuff, it would just kind of get thrown in organically a lot of just. That there's an RV, Clark. I borrowed it off a buddy of mine.
No, he traded it. No, he borrowed it.
He said he borrowed it. whatever, swapped it for a house or whatever the fuck it was to start with. Right. He's like, that's where we live. Like, I had to get rid of the house and get the RV. All
right. So speaking of, I don't know why I'm using that. That's a bad segue. Is there any parts that haven't aged well or took you out of the movie? Besides the part where Clark flirts with the lingerie person that is so dumb.
Yeah, I mean, that's dumb. I don't understand the, like, fantasizing about the pool. I mean, whatever. It's there.
Well, because then we got to get
them. But
gotta
then
get
you Clark. Also bring back the, like, same, like, lingerie sales lady.
Yeah, thing. I mean, that's the thing. You know, when we were watching it today, my girlfriend had started watching late, so she hadn't seen, like, when he was at, like, the lingerie counter, but, like, she's on the diving board, and she's like, oh, you know, who's that? And I'm just like, oh,
you're
like, you know,
some hussy?
this whore.
Some 20-year-old he was flirting with in the mall about some lingerie.
But, yeah, I'm like, you know, it's just, it's just that moment that is the trope in the vacation movies of Clark sees a cute girl and then she's just in his back of his brain and she shows up later and then
in both and all
and
of
then
those
he gets interrupted
all of those situations one of the kids interrupts him.
Yeah.
It's like, why? Yeah, why does it does not need to be a thing.
I feel like they really drop the ball and like him having to like cover himself there when like he turned away and like little Mary Sue there.
That's like, what I was trying to remember. Well,
I was expecting that. Yeah, while it was happening,
yeah, I was like, "Is that going to have to be a thing?" And then it wasn't. I was like, "Okay,
89 is too early for boner jokes." Apparently,
that's like, good. I mean, listen, if we're going to go as far as the whatever naked 20 or something year old girl in the pool that he's fantasizing about, I'm glad we didn't have to deal with the boner.
Well, remember that in Super Troopers when they pull over the swingers and. He's like, why don't you sound Uncle Rabbit slap? He's like, oh, I don't think it's good.
I don't think that's a good idea right now.
That's true.
Yeah. Anyway, so then, of course, you know, we find out that Eddie's kids don't think there's going to be a Santa Claus. And
he hasn't had a job in 7 years, Clark. he's holding out for management.
All right, well, let's get to the end. I think we've been talking for a minute now. Let's get to the end where... it all goes to shit. Like you said, the aunt shows up and her husband, and those two are fucking amazing. Just they bat 1,000. The cats in the box.
Geriatric folks that are just
it tastes like lime. The Jell-O has cat food, and cousin Eddie's like, oh, got some more of that. That shit's good.
I think the most underrated. Okay, maybe not the most underrated part, but when they show up. And Russ comes back and he's like, the box is meowing. And like Clark has it and he's like, shakes it. And it's like, meow. And then it's just like, it freaks out every once in a while. We'll just sit there with it. I laugh pretty hard at that. It's just like the cat randomly is freaking out.
We don't like Chevy Chase is a renowned dickhead. And but he's really good at physical comedy. And like, we don't have like a good physical comedy. Like, if you remade this movie now, I think Vince Vaughn has aged out of it, but that's probably who plays Clark as like an obnoxious.
Yeah,
like,
there's not a lot of that.
Yeah, I don't know
anymore.
Of a young, I don't know of a like 30s.
45. See, it's 45.
Okay.
But Vince Vaughn's probably 60 now.
Paul Rudd, but he's like 60, 55.
50s, yeah. Yeah, I don't know. And
he's
that's
not
where...
like an amazing, like known to be that, but he can do it. But yeah, I don't think we have a good like anybody that's.
Oh, you know who would be really good is a guy. It's Peter Segal. The guy's in Shrinking right now, and Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
Yeah, but I bet he's older than you think.
But he could do like the physical comedy part of it. I think.
Yeah, no, I agree. I love
I mean, he was. Yeah, I was going to say How I Met Your Mother finished what. 10, 12 years ago, he was mid-30s then.
That show never ended. I never saw the finale. I heard it was great. I heard it just ended. They never finished that show. Just stopped making episodes. I wish. Mom's still alive.
Yeah. No, I think he would be good, and then there's probably maybe some guys a little younger. There's some of this where
Jason Segel is 44.
Okay,
so perfect.
There, but
Neil Patrick Harris.
There's some of these guys that are, you know, kind of coming up as far as like
actually. Let's go name a whole cast.
Like maybe
say NPH is 51. Like
it's... I don't know if you could get like maybe as his career goes on if he gets acting and does himself. Like,
I'm double checking the shitters.
I think Shane Gillis could maybe do something like that if you got into.
Oh, that dude is funny, but he's. I can't tell if he's playing problematic or he's actually problematic.
And yeah, it's a fine line for sure. So there's probably some of those guys, but I just don't, you know, obviously, as I've mentioned before, there's such a big part of it that is just the body language and the way they express themselves. That is such a huge part of it. That's tough to nail. I mean, you can't just waltz your way through that and fake that. Like
It's not that you can't learn it or refine it, but I don't think you fully develop it from nothing. Like there's people that can do it and have done it well and refined it, but like you don't do Jim Carrey without being able to just do it at some point to start with, right?
So let's round this up. What's everyone's favorite part of the movie before we finish how this movie ends?
Oh man.
I think it's the fried pussycat for me. That shit always kills me. Just then, you know, the chair and then Eddie being like, what are you gonna sell this for? What'd you buy this for? What can I get it for?
What is that smell? Fried pussycat. I don't think it's my favorite. It's not my favorite part of the movie, but it cracked me up out of nowhere because I forgot how the scene went. When they ask Aunt what was her name? What was the geriatric aunt's name?
Aunt Bethany.
They ask her to say grace, and it goes around. Oh man, when she she
cracks into the Pledge of Allegiance.
She cracks into she starts the Pledge of Allegiance,
and then everybody
joins in. And I don't know why. I don't know why that was so goddamn funny. But I did not remember that at all, especially like I didn't remember where. I thought she just sat there silent and then it went like some other direction. But then she just she starts into the Pledge of Allegiance and everybody goes in with her and Clark like looks around and is like,
and he stands up.
Yeah. And it's just like, yeah, that was probably the most, unexpected like part that just cracked me up because I completely forgot about it.
She is the original voice of Betty Boop cartoons. Learned that today.
Okay.
In the 30s.
Would make sense.
Interesting.
Because not that I'm like a Betty Boop expert, but her voice was like, oh, that sounds like, I don't know.
Don't use your Betty Boop Twitter account like that Muppets guy. Use his Muppet account. Yeah, it's just not good.
Yikes. I obviously already said I think she's my favorite character in the whole movie, and just when they do get to the house and they are just handing off the gifts, and it was the whole thing of like, you know, Clark says, or I think the uncle says like, we figured out the perfect gift for you, and Clark says, oh, you didn't have to get me anything. He goes, damn it, they guessed what we got them, or you know, something like that. But also she's just rambling on, and just there's the, oh, did I break wind? And he's just, did the whole room clear out? Of course not. Yeah. But then it is,
she couldn't hear a cement truck and nitroglycerin plant.
Yeah. And it's one that I use just in almost no context. I'll throw out there, but as they're walking her off and she's just, is Rusty still in the Navy?
Like three or four real quick
laugh so hard
when they're walking in. She has like three or four real quick, like just really small, like super senile things that she says, and I'm like,
it's the introduction to, oh, she's just a batshit crazy old lady. Okay, got it.
Also, we missed when we were talking about the gifts, Cousin Eddie doing the okay sign. I think that might be the most, that might be the most used one in the grocery store. Yeah. That might be the most like whatever symbol that is.
I don't know, I think it's when not he's the most used, but it's up there with highly used.
When he's just absolutely loading up the cart with dog food, but he's not asking for a handout.
Yeah. And then he has the Christmas list.
Alphabetized by kid.
All right. Let's discuss the end. Cousin Eddie, he does not get the bonus. He freaks out. The tree bursts into flames. He goes to cut down a brand new tree. Goes to the neighbor's window. Then Eddie kidnaps the fucking boss. Yeah. And the boss is like, you know what? I fucked up. You do get a bonus and 20% on top. What the actual fuck?
So just to start with. So at one point, Clark references a $7,500 deposit for the pool.
Oh, we're going to find out what the bonus is? Okay.
And so if you just take that, which would have been his, if you're going to assume last year's bonus was that, and so he's willing to invest that, plus 20% in today's money.
I love the fact that you figured this out. Okay, go ahead.
Is $24,424.
That's a nice bonus.
So that's
how do I sign up for that?
That's what he's just assuming he's gonna get. Because that's the way that you do financing. So it was $7,500 for the deposit. The 20% increase was $9,375. And then that to today's money was $24,000.
All because he created a glaze that makes cereal more crunchy.
It makes it stay crunchy. With the milk.
Was it crunchy or makes a crunchy sound? I think it makes a crunchy sound.
I think the idea was that it means it didn't get soggy right away.
I mean, if a man can create cereal that doesn't get soggy, give him the fucking Nobel Prize. Like,
obviously,
I mean,
obviously wasn't that important.
See, not. So anyways, $24,000 in today's money, kidnaps a man, breaks into his house, and the dude is just like, you know what? I was wrong. My bad.
You know what? I was an asshole. I should not have taken everybody's bonuses away. Here's $24,000.
No charges.
Plus 20%.
No. That's the with the
20%. That's with the 20%. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, either way, man.
But still, just like,
does his bonus fix his house?
No, God no. How many windows did he break out? Shingles did he ruin?
On top of all the damage to the neighbor's house.
New roof and new windows, new gutters. Like, hell no.
I just, back real quick, and then I'll ask Sean his favorite part is. You didn't even answer your favorite part. But real quick before we get our favorite parts again, the neighbor gets attacked by a squirrel also at the end. She does not deserve any of this shit. No. Elaine Bennis does not deserve any of the shit that happens to her. Oh, she's a rude person. So
also, why is everybody so terrified of a squirrel?
What? Okay. I picked up a squirrel once. It bit me. I had to get a rabies shot, and then they killed the squirrel. Also, don't pick up squirrels.
Wait. Why did you still have the squirrel?
I didn't. It bit me, and it ran up a tree because my cousin said, I bet you can't pick up that squirrel that's limping. I picked up the squirrel that was limping by its tail, thinking that if I grabbed it by its tail, it couldn't get me.
Yeah,
spoiler alert. Rolled up, and it bit me. Ran up a tree. We had to call the DNR. They came out with a goddamn rifle, shot the squirrel.
I guess my perspective is more like everybody doesn't need to act like there's some giant predator in the house.
Right. Like there's a squirrel. Like Jumanji's happening
now,
in the living
room.
Yes.
Should you be cautious that there's a squirrel around and try and I'll attach
a live squirrel to your back and see how you react.
Okay.
It's not going to stay on your back anyway.
Maybe it's a pissed off rabid squirrel.
Then we have a problem. If we know it's rabid and you attach it to my back, then we're going to have problems.
Everyone thought Cujo was a good dog too. And what happened there? Anyways, Jake, what's your favorite part of the movie?
We kind of talked about the best parts, but
I'm sorry. I got distracted by the
Pledge of Allegiance.
I'm sorry. I got distracted by the squirrel talk. Sorry. Don't pick up squirrels. If you learn anything from this podcast, don't pick up squirrels.
Don't pick up random wild animals. It's not a good idea.
I guess maybe in their defense, a squirrel that will lunge out of a tree at you is maybe one to be a little bit afraid of.
That squirrel has nothing else to live for, man.
Punch that squirrel out of the air.
Right. All right. Yeah, movie's pretty good.
Ted, what's your favorite part of the movie?
God damn it. I think the fried pussycat scene just cracks me up every fucking time. I love how the lights flicker. Can't
get away from the cat getting fried.
The full ass Looney Tunes like cat just, outline in the carpet.
Yeah, just the like exploding cat.
Or anytime it's such a layup, but anytime Cousin Eddie's on the screen, man, dude just bats 1,000. I like to go back and rewatch this shit.
There's
He doesn't have a single wasted line. The dog's like fucking choking on the bone. He's like, hope he got it up.
Yep,
And Clark's like, well, maybe don't feed him from the table. He's like, I didn't, but did he get in your
trash?
Yeah.
Yeah, like anything Randy Quaid, the whole part of you're going there, microwave. I pissed myself and forget my name for 30 minutes. That shit cracks me up. I think Clark Griswold's kind of an asshole and a dick, and not sure he's a good dad or a father. Dad or a husband.
He's at the least pretty aloof and
at least he's present. He's present in his kids' lives, kind of.
I mean, he's not the most considerate.
He's trying to bond with Russ. He's trying to hang all these lights.
Not so much with Audrey. Does he say a single word to his daughter in this movie outside of the tree part of the beginning?
Yeah, it's the 80s though, you know.
The 80s though. Oh, the cat just got fried.
Now I'm not convinced he's not a great father, at least husband figure in general, but
he's getting that bonus, goddamn it, he's making a pool in Chicago that they can use 4 months of the year.
Building a $30,000 pool though.
A little side question. What do you think every employee got the boss for Christmas? Because they all bought the same sized package.
It's a coffee mug, right? That'd be a coffee mug.
It's two boxes, though.
I assumed it was like some kind of little candle figurine thing or something.
Like, there had to be just some sort of like extremely stereotypical like boss gift in the 80s, I'm assuming that they were.
Also, last thing before we go, I want the candle windmill thing with the fire that like it lights and the candles move. Because Eddie fucks up. Like it has flames under it to make the windmill move. Did you not catch that?
Oh, the thing that he knocks apart.
Yeah, like
just gets there. Yeah, that that Clark doesn't get put back together.
Which, mind you can't have in holidays anymore because I'm sure it burned a fucking house down, like the Christmas tree that burst in the flames. It's
probably a little bit of a fire hazard, sure.
Would you rather eat the cat food Jell-O or the turkey?
No. There's no meat on that turkey.
Just had a dry ass turkey, I would much rather eat the dry ass turkey.
Right.
The turkey that they burst open is like some alien ass shit that's just right. Like
there's not even bones in there.
That's like left there, yeah.
All right. Anyways, hope everyone has a Merry Christmas. Our next movie I think is Airplane in 2025.
I'll rewatch it and we can podcast on it.
Hopefully it's streaming for free somewhere since I fucking screwed up and didn't watch it when it was.
I screwed that up. You didn't screw it up.
I mean, but I could have watched it since then. So, but until next time, go ahead.
Delight. You want to talk about another one that just banger after banger of.
I am excited for that movie. I have seen that. I have seen so many chunks of that movie without ever seeing the whole thing. I'm actually really fucking excited for that movie. I'm excited for the remake. No, remakes of Naked Gun, which I'm also excited for with Liam Neeson. But hope everyone has a Merry Christmas. Hope Iowa State wins a bowl game. That'd be cool.
That would be nice.
Hope everyone gets a $25,000 bonus like Clark Griswold.
That would be nice.
I mean, honestly, I'd be happy with a Jelly of the Month Club bonus, to be honest. Like, yeah. What flavors do you think that? And then he's just like different times. All right, I'm fucking up. I'm talking too much. All right, boys. Till next time, I should find something clever to say, like Bethany. So just going to say Pledge of Allegiance to the flag.
What?
Hello, CIA.
Yeah.